Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsperger.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 20. Man, I cannot believe it, 20. Of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, as well as iTunes and Stitcher.com. Thank you so much for downloading, listening, and sharing this podcast. And today's guest is from Chikara Pro. His name is Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly. And if you've never had a chance to see Chikara Pro or Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly in action, I would highly recommend getting on the internet, going to chikarapro.com. You can check out what Chikara Pro is all about. You can order video on demand, DVDs of their past shows. Head over to YouTube, look up Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly. He does have a YouTube show, a channel, and we'll talk to him more in depth about that and some of the other things that he's doing. He's got a Pro Wrestling Tees store over on the Pro Wrestling Tees website. So really a fun guy to talk to, very entertaining. So I recommend sticking around and checking out that interview. I want to run down a couple of quick notes from the past week in wrestling, and I have been kind of in WWE mode. I'm still trying to find a way to watch Lucha Underground, and Ring of Honor comes on here. It's just a matter of setting the DVR and sitting down and actually watching it, but I will be checking that out. And I don't get Destination America, so I don't get TNA, but I do read, keep up with what's going on there storyline-wise. So just some quick notes from Raw and SmackDown from the past week. Obviously, Randy Orton, the new number one contender to Seth Rollins' WWE World Heavyweight title. No big surprise there. With the victory Orton got at WrestleMania, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he would probably be the next contender for the championship. And hopefully at Extreme Rules, this is where Rollins shines once again, and Randy Orton helps to put him over and get him on the path to a successful and long title run. Quite honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. My guy Adrian Neville, or just simply known as Neville now, battled Rollins on Raw. I don't think it was for the championship. I didn't expect, obviously, in his second match on the main roster, for Neville to pick up the win over the champion. Although I was kind of disappointed that they put him in that situation that early on. So time will tell what's going to be next for Neville. I know that he had a rematch with Curtis Axel, on SmackDown on Thursday night. And, you know, he goes from Axel to the champ, back to Axel. Again, not exactly sure what's going on, but we'll keep an eye on things. And I want to focus a little bit more on the Mizdow situation. Of course, the Miz pinning Damian Mizdow on Raw. A couple of things come up with Mizdow. He was so over as Mizdow, as kind of being the Miz's second-hand man. What's going to happen with him? It's going to be very critical over the next couple of weeks, couple of months, probably. I'm hoping that I would have thought they would have saved these guys for Extreme Rules. It'll be interesting to see where they go with Mizdow's character, because he's no longer working for the Miz, so does he still have to have that name, Mizdow? I'm worried that he is going to end up getting lost in the shuffle once this whole program with the Miz is over. It'll be crucial to see where WWE Creative takes him, because I liked the Damian Sandow character from, you know, two or three years ago, I guess, when he was kind of the snooty, snotty character. You know, better than everyone, smarter than everyone. He was kind of a combination of the genius and the early goings of Hunter Hearst Helmsley, I thought. And I thought that could have worked. But of course, in wrestling, we see a lot of times the evolution of different characters and depending on what the fans want. And the fans bought into the whole Mizdow thing, as did I. And I liked his other, you know, I kind of liked him coming out week after week as a different character, as a different persona, whether it was a wrestler or someone in the world of entertainment. So, he's obviously got the talent. We'll keep an eye on him and the situation going on with The Miz. Extreme Rules shaping up. Daniel Bryan will be defending the Intercontinental Championship against Wade Barrett. As I mentioned, Seth Rollins defends against Randy Orton, and it looks like John Cena defends the United States Championship against Rusev. We'll dig more into those activities, that pay-per-view or that event now. In the coming weeks here on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, also over at my123cents.com. Next week, by the way, I am excited because this upcoming weekend, April 17th through the 19th, is the Cape Girardeau Cape Comic-Con, and it's going on at the Osage Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I talked with the organizer, Ken Murphy, last week on the show on episode 19, so go back and listen to that if you'd like. There's a big wrestling connection to that, so if you're a regional listener here in the Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky, even parts of Tennessee, Arkansas area, this is worth driving into town and checking out. It's very inexpensive, $5 for Friday's tickets, $10 for Saturday's tickets, and then $5 for Sunday's tickets, or you can get all 3 days for $15. So there's going to be plenty of exhibits, question and answer sessions with comic book professionals, but also the reason I'm interested, the biggest reason I'm interested is in meeting beautiful Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express. He is going to be the wrestler on hand this year. He'll be around Saturday on the 18th from about 10 until 2, and then he'll be back on Sunday from 11 until 5, which is the full day of the Comic-Con on Sunday, April 19th. He'll be signing different things, taking pictures, etc., etc. And Ken Murphy gave me a copy of Jim Cornette's Midnight Express scrapbook, which I appreciate. It's autographed by Cornette. I will get Bobby Eaton to sign it, and my goal is to get Bobby Eaton on the show for next week's show, too. So, episode 21. Hopefully, not meeting any kind of barriers along the way, Bobby Eaton will be the guest here, and I am excited about that. So thanks again, as I mentioned, for listening and checking out My 1-2-3 Cents, the blog. Also, clicking on that Amazon link and doing your shopping through Amazon. It's over at the JitteryMonkey.com page, the My 1-2-3 Cents homepage, as well as My123Cents.com on the sponsor banner. Just click on that. You do your shopping as you normally would. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but when you make your online purchases, Amazon is so kind and generous to throw a little bit of that my way here at My 1-2-3 Cents to help with production costs and, quite honestly, gearing up for WrestleMania 32. So thanks for checking that out. And as always, thanks for listening to all the podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Nerds United, A Seat Above the Stands, Gamer, Pop Culture, and I feel like I'm forgetting someone, and I apologize for that. But without any further ado, here is the gentleman, Jervis Cottonbelly. Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, my guest, gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly. He is one of the greats on Chikara Pro and wrestles for other groups around the country as well. Gentleman Jervis, thank you so much for joining My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you're doing. What's going on these days? I know you're keeping quite busy, not only in the wrestling circuit, but also on social media.
Oh, yes. I've been quite active recently. I've recently started a new YouTube channel and a show called Cottonbelly Says.
And I have seen some of those. It's quite entertaining. Talk to our listeners a little bit about your show.
Well, ideally what I'd like to do is build a reel to become a voice actor, because I think I've got quite a sweet and a lovely voice, and I think any movie trailer or commercial would be lucky to have me. Now, that being said, I need content to share with these people before I can, pitch myself as a pitchman. So I thought, what better way than to engage my current audience and ask them to request for me to say silly words and new phrases and such that I may not be familiar with.
And what has been some of the fun things that you have said on your show so far?
Oh, my, some of the fun words I've said. Well, I learned what the word twerk meant. That caused me to faint.
As a gentleman, you probably don't see a whole lot of twerking going on, do you?
Oh, no, a little bit of ankle, and I've had all I can take. Twerking is a whole other level.
and, And where can folks find that? Your pretty simple YouTube channel. Is it the Jervis Cottonbelly channel that you're doing all this on?
Indeed, yes. YouTube.com/JervisCottonbelly.
And tell me a little bit about the other social media. Folks who want to reach out to you for bookings or whatnot can find you at Gentleman Jervis on Twitter. Your email is JervisCottonbelly@gmail.com. You also have a Facebook page.
You know, I think I'd like to grapple more in whether or not it's on the West Coast or the East Coast or the Midwest or the Southeast or the Northeast or the, well, you know, wherever it may be. I'm prepared to go and grapple my heart out.
Tell me a little bit about your history in the ring. I know that you have been doing this for quite some time now and developing quite a following, as we mentioned, on social media, but at these shows as well. I was fortunate enough to see you at a Wrestling is Intense show in Carbondale, Illinois, a few years back. But I know that you get the fans and get the crowd engaged, and that's kind of what makes these smaller independent shows more fun to attend, because of wrestlers like you who not only can get in the ring and work, but also, you know, you're there to entertain and let the fans know that you guys care about them just as much as they care about you.
The thing I like most about our brand of grappling at Chikara is that we get a very hands-on experience with our audience. So it's very easy to tell what they like or what they don't like, and, you know, to tweak it in order to put on a better show and to make them have a more enjoyable time.
And I think that that has resonated with fans. Chikara in its 15th season now. If you want to learn more about that company, head over to chikarapro.com. Right now, also, one of the big things going on is the Challenge of the Immortals series. Talk to me a little bit about that, and you've got quite a team assembled for this.
Oh, yes, the Challenge of the Immortals. Now, I'll give you the breakdown real quick. So, there are, I don't even know how many teams. I think maybe eight. There was a draft to begin, and everyone got to pick a member of a team, and, you know, each captain had their reasons for picking. Now, our captain is Princess Kimberly, and, I suppose she picked yours truly because, well, I know how to treat a princess. After all, I've had my fair share of experience with royalty. On the other hand, she chose Los Ice Creams to be our third and fourth partners. And I think that was a bit more of a self-centered move, Kevin.
Tell me about that. Why do you think that?
Well, and this is not to knock the princess, because I would never do such a thing. I love her very much. But, you know, she picked... She picked Iho before she picked a lot of more successful and fierce competitors. And the reason is that, well, Iho follows her around, and he, I suppose he kisses up to her because he thinks that she's Elsa from the movie Frozen. Yes, he has no earthly idea that that was only a CGI animation. But at any rate, the four of us have formed quite a quartet. She's a very fierce competitor. Sometimes, you know, because of the old ways of the past, everyone looks to me to save her. But in truth, Kimberly has saved me more times than I can count. And she's really the hard hitter on the team, if you will.
Do you guys team up as a foursome, or are you guys doing individual matches as well? And this is all kind of leading up to the end of the challenge.
Well, that's the beauty of the tournament. You can either have a one-on-one, a two-on-two, a three-on-three, or a four, an eight-man tag match. And the best part is that either way, you know, so if I'm going to compete against, let's just say, ex-Pakistan of the Buck Party, if I'm to compete against ex-Pakistan and I defeat him, then I will have earned a point for my team. But if Kimberly and I compete against the colony and we defeat them, we would also earn a point. So it's a bit of a roundabout tournament, but it's more or less designed to structure the season and I think to structure the company, because we've really undergone a lot of turmoil over the past few years.
That is very true. Now, do you like the concept of the seasonal wrestling that you've been doing with Chikara? I know you've been with them for a few years now.
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, of course, because, you know, it gives our bodies a chance to rest, It gives our minds a chance to rest, because after all, what we do is an art form. And, well, you can't tap an artist dry like a well. You must let the artist decompress and, you know, get the creative juices flowing again. And I think that sometimes when you grapple year-round, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it can be a bit wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be very challenging, I would imagine. And, getting that break from time to time from the ring and the road, because Chikara, you guys have kind of expanded the scope of travel that you do. I still hope and wish that you guys come back to Southern Illinois or even to St. Louis. I know you have shows coming to Illinois and Chicago and in Indianapolis as well. Talk to me a little bit about being on the road. How do you prepare for that to head out and visit a new city, a new town, and of course a new batch of fans?
Yes, well, it's very exciting, you know, when you go on the road. I think that I found, at least for myself, you know, if I have a long trip coming up, I like to be very calm in the days leading to it. You know, I don't go to the ice cream parlor or to the barber's shop to talk with the old chaps and to do a bit of singing. The week of a match, I leave that stuff to the Gentlemania Club down the way. During the traveling and when I'm on the road, it appears that I need less sustenance. I seem to run on adrenaline. So you don't eat as much as you'd like to, and you don't always have the meal that you'd like to eat. You know, sometimes I find myself eating hard-boiled eggs and apple slices at the gas station. So, you know, as we're filling up and eating and such and being on the road, there's also a lot of jokes and jests that I had. One time, Juan Francisco de Coronado put sugar in my moped gas tank, and I wasn't able to make my match.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very gentlemanly thing to do to someone.
No, not at all. He's full of shenanigans, that little Juan Francisco. No. But at any rate, to answer your question, I think that traveling is a lot of fun. And for me, I'm not the type of person that could, you know, do a regular job, cracking rocks or counting stock ticker numbers and such. No, I think I need that up-and-down lifestyle of go, 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 and rest, 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 rest.
Now, I think the last time we talked, and that was about a year or so ago, you were kind of in pursuit of a lady friend. Have you had any luck with that that endeavor?
Oh, not so much. You know, I've been really trying to show my affection to Kimberly. I've tried to kiss her on her hand. I've tried to give her a hug, but she doesn't seem receptive to it. But I suppose that's because I'm lowborn, and not necessarily royalty. But aside from that, you know, I've kind of given that old hunt a break, because I want to focus on my grappling and my technique.
Now, is there who in the Chikara roster do you enjoy getting into the ring with and grappling? Because you do a very fine job, and when you get in there, and is there anyone in there in particular that you have? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I guess I kind of am, that you like working with more than others?
Oh, well, that's an easy one. I think I've loved working against Juan Francisco de Coronado. And he's very easy to read, you see. If there's something rude that can be done, he will do it. And I've always liked the chemistry that we've had in that sense, because, you know, I've always been able to read him one or two steps ahead. And the same goes for him, thinking of me in a lot of ways. So we know each other very well. Another one that I love to grapple is Chuck Taylor. I think that anyone who grapples Chuck Taylor, whether you win or lose, just the sheer fact that you've gotten into the ring with him and been able to hang, it shows that you're a performer as well, and that, you know, you're to be taken seriously, because Chuck Taylor, I think that he really elevates everyone that he's around.
Yeah, he is exceptional too. I've seen him wrestle on several occasions at not just for Chikara but other companies as well. Do you do a lot of shows outside of Chikara? And I know that you had mentioned your email earlier, jervis cottonbelly@gmail.com. Do you get a lot of other bookings and on the side? And if so, where do you typically find yourself?
Oh, well, actually, I'm just about to start taking bookings all over the United States. I'm making my trip out west to find my old friend. And on that trip, I'd like to take as many bookings as possible. So Midwest, West Coast. Recently, I've been booked by Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So you'll be able to see me on television soon.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Yes, that'll be very entertaining. I believe next week it airs, Saturday night. But you have to check your local listings for CWFH.
CWFH. I'm writing that down so I can share the link with our fans and our listeners.
Thank you, Mr. Hunsberger.
So now you said you're in pursuit of a friend. Can you talk any more about the journey that you're about to embark on?
Yes, I can. Now, as many of you know, and I apologize in advance, this might get a bit sad. As many of you know, my dear friend, the Estonian Thunderfrog, was taken from us last year. The evil dastardly Deucalion spiked him on his knee and seemingly crushed him for good back in Revere, Massachusetts, last summer. And we had never seen the frog again. I was heartbroken because Frog was not only my best friend, but he was my partner. And we drove up and down the road together many, many years. And, you know, we struggled through the same things, and we shared the same experiences, and, well, we loved each other very much. So, being alive for 127 years, I've known of something, well, black magic, if you will. And I've always avoided it, because, well, it's never been my speed. But once we lost the frog, I had to do as much research as I could. And as it turns out, a nice young lady by the name of Madame Electra, she gave me some tips. And she said that, well, she said that my friend is still alive out there, and that I must head west beyond the Great River. I can only assume that means the Mississippi, but, you know, there are many great rivers in this country. So, if you want to see that video, you'll have to order our show from Virginia, and I believe that was called Alter Egos. You can get it at chicarapro.com, and the video airs after the credits. Now, again, I'm not sure what this trip holds for me, but I've been given many warnings by my friends, and I want to assure them that I know what I'm doing, and I'll have the Thunder Frog back soon enough.
So as you go in pursuit of the Thunder Frog, is the hope to bring him back to Chikara Pro and maybe get him back on a regular schedule with you guys?
Oh, well, that's my dream come true. But I don't know if I really don't know what to expect. As far as I understand, someone that looks like the frog has appeared in Minnesota recently on the local independent circuit.
Very interesting. And
have you heard of this?
I've seen a couple of rumblings on social media as well that there have been some sightings, but I haven't been able to confirm anything. Thunder Frog was good enough to do an interview with me last year as well. It's been almost 2 years ago now that you guys were. Yeah, it's been a long time that you guys made that appearance in Carbondale, Illinois, and he did an interview with me on my YouTube channel talking about that show and getting ready for that. Thunderfrog was a great performer, great guy, and you guys really did, went together kind of like peanut butter and jelly, as they say. You guys made a great team.
Oh, yes, it did. They called us Thunderbelly, and I'll tell you what the secret of being a great team really is. It's being best friends, and I don't say that to draw more attention to the fact that I lost my friend, but look at all the greats in history. The Hart Foundation, or the Legion of Doom, or you've got the Click, and they were all best friends, and they always worked well together, and I think that it's your level of comfort with another. And Frog and I were like brothers, you know. We we read each other's mind, and we quite understood what was going on. So our tandem was successful because we loved each other. And I think that's always important in a friendship or in some sort of interpersonal relationship.
That, you're exactly right about that. And in professional wrestling, we've seen that, as you said, with so many great tag teams of the past. And hopefully you and Frog are reunited and can get together and put on some great tag team matches on Chikara Pro and you know, around the country, not only with Chikara, but the other companies that are out there. You've been around, as you said, for 127 years now. Through the time as a wrestling fan before you started wrestling, who were some of your favorites? Who did you like watching out there?
Oh, well, I've had many favorites over the years, but I'd say that one of my most recent favorites, and this is the interesting part about being around for so long, I've been able to have many, many favorites. I've had favorites like Taka Michinoku or Johnny Saint or Johnny Kidd, but then I've also had favorites like Mick Foley. And I think I'd like to talk about him today.
Sure.
I recently, excuse me, pardon me, I need a bit of Ricola from the Swiss Superman. Now, Mick Foley, he's always been one of my heroes because he's always respected the art of wrestling. He's never really, you know, while he's always put his body on the line, I think that his character work was extremely compelling. Everything that he did when he came to WWF, with the faces of Foley, I think that was just riveting stuff. And another thing that I really like about him is he doesn't take himself too seriously. Oftentimes, in grappling, you get this a bit of an ego complex, and certain grapplers fancy themselves as too cool for school, if you will. But Mick Foley never had a problem laughing at himself, and well, I think because of that, the audience endeared him, and they laughed along with him.
I think you're exactly right, and actually, Mick Foley is someone that we're trying to get as a guest here on My 123 Cents, the podcast, as well. So, hopefully,
if there's anything I can do to help, let me know.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. And you talked about the art of wrestling, and I, you know, people, when they hear that I am a wrestling fan, or they, you know, read that I have a wrestling blog, I'm a journalist by trade. That's my day job. They're surprised by that. I think that there is a misconception about wrestling to the general public. What do you make of that, and how do you continue on as a wrestler and you know, because there are so many, you know, misconceptions, untruths about professional wrestling that I think people forget that it really, truly is. It's an athletic show, but it's also an art form, and it's a form of entertainment.
Indeed, indeed. You hit the nail on the head. And here's how I feel about the matter as a whole. If you look back traditionally at grappling, and I don't mean to insult anyone, so I hope I'm not, but grappling has always been, how do I say this without sounding too offensive? It's been full of liars. And when I say that, I mean that there's always been this notion that those who are performing know better than those who are watching. And that as long as they don't know certain things or secrets or tricks, then we can always trick them into coming back and paying more and buying more shows and such. And I think that it's a toxic line of thinking to take advantage of your audience. Even in the 30s, when grappling was really going from a more legitimate sport to something that was more of a show and more of an entertainment, I think that even then they tried to convince people that, you know, what you're seeing is competition and it's not a show. And by doing that, you've wounded the trust of your audience. Even through the 90s, when Vince McMahon came and revealed that this is all sports entertainment, it's not actual competition, excuse me. I think that even during that era, it still was held over the fans' heads as if they didn't know what was going on. And then you had a brief period of sleaze and Jerry Springer-esque actions on wrestling, so that didn't give it a good name. And, well, you know, folks have probably put their hands up and said, either you're going to lie to me and pretend that grappling is something that it's not, or you're going to feed me sleaze and you know, high ankle showings and other such things that would make me faint. So I think that we're finally entering an age where grappling fans are in on the joke. They're in on the fun. They're in on the action. They respect the pageantry. They respect the dedication. And they respect the athleticism. And I think that now that we're on the same page, we are about to hit a wrestling renaissance.
That's perfect, what you just said, because it kind of leads into my next question. You know, I've been a fan for just over 30 years, and things have obviously evolved. From when I first started watching, I was a big WWF fan back in the day, NWA, world class with the Von Erichs, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. You had all these larger-than-life stars, the Ultimate Warrior. Then we kind of evolved into the Bret Harts and the Shawn Michaels, the Stone Cold Steve Austins, and now we're, you know, even evolved even more where we're getting, you know, and I'm talking about on the big stage, Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan, these guys who aren't, you know, they're in great shape, but they're not these, you know, giant, muscular, over-the-top, you know, superheroes. They're more, and I'm not saying they're common men by any means, but they look more like people that you may run into out in public and not these larger-than-life characters. So
yes,
with that evolution, and another part of that evolution that I've seen, and I know that the independent scene has done it more so than WWE ever did, but that's the incorporation of women into men's matches. I'm pretty sure, if I'm correct in saying this, that you have been in the ring with a couple of ladies before. Do you have any kind of aversion to that? What are your thoughts on wrestling in these intergender matches?
Oh, I don't have any aversion at all. If anything, you know, I grew up as a fan of several television shows, and, you know, as I got older, I always appreciated things like the Power Rangers, for example. That was a wonderful, wonderful program. And but did anyone think that Kimberly could kick less butt than Billy? No. You know, just because she was a girl and Trini, same argument there, the Yellow Ranger. Did anyone think that she was less tough than Zachary? I don't know. I don't think so. But I think what the point was is that women are equals. And especially when we have something such as grappling, you know, and we're putting on a show, I think that it's important to break down those barriers. Grappling is at the forefront of breaking down a lot of barriers. And in the last year alone, I think that a woman's place in the professional wrestling world has greatly improved. Now, that being said, I don't ever like to see a lady be struck or hit or hurt. Take a look at Ronda Rousey. You know, she's a professional fighter. That's what she's chosen to do. She's a smart woman with her own mind and her own brain. She can do whatever she... I think same for women like Princess Kimberly, who get into the wrestling ring. You know, when they step into the squared circle, I think that they know they're taking their life in their hands, and they're brave, and they do it anyway.
And that's another important issue to talk about is, as much of an art form and, you know, to some a form of entertainment this is, there is that athletic component as well, obviously, when you look at the men and women who do get in there and do this and the rigors of the road and whatnot. When you do step into the ring, you obviously are aware of the risk, but is it something that weighs on your mind every time you step through the ropes? Obviously, you're careful with what you do, but is it something that is in the forefront of your mind?
No, I don't think so, and the reason is because I trust my brothers like brothers. They the men that I travel and the women that I travel with, they're very they want to make sure that you can get to the next show. They don't want to end your career. The one character that wanted to end everyone's career, Deucalion, luckily he was vanquished, and that was last year. So most of our roster, while you know, Jacka may want to beat me senseless, he doesn't want to kill me. And I think that that's important to have, you know. We have a bit of trust, and it really carries a long way.
I would imagine that you know, that is a huge factor in all of this. Some of our listeners may or may not know, I did actually one time step into the ring for a match with an independent company as well. And, you know, there is a huge amount of trust and respect. And, you know, if anybody ever naysays what men and women who are involved in the world of professional wrestling do, you know, I would challenge them to step in the ring and just be a part of that just for a minute, because it's a whole different world from watching from behind that guardrail and actually stepping through those ropes and getting tossed around that ring. So I have the utmost respect for what all of you guys do, whether you're, you know, someone I cheer for or someone I boo. Nothing but respect and love for the world of professional wrestling and the men and women who make it what it is today.
Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say.
Well, we'll start winding things down here in just a second, but let me ask you this. Is there ever, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Mick Foley, and we talked about, I mentioned Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, and I know that, you know, they are very big stars on the independent circuit. Claudio Castagnoli, I know, wrestled with Chikara several years ago. These guys have kind of made it, if you will. They're in the WWE now, which is obviously the largest and most widely known wrestling company out there, or sports entertainment in their case. Gentlemen, is that something that you ever aspire to do? Do you want to leave the independent scene and go to NXT or WWE or even a TNA or Ring of Honor, where there is that more television exposure element at least?
I think for any one of us to not want to get to that next level, or, you know, NXT or WWE or whatever the name may be, I think that it'd be false to not want to get there. Anybody who's grappling would love to level up and to keep growing. But something that I hold on to is hope that one day there will be an alternative. And that's not because I dislike WWE, but that's because competition fuels innovation. And, you know, if when you had WCW around, you were getting some of the best wrestling you've ever seen. And every single night, the grapplers were forced to push themselves because they had competition, you know, nipping at their heels. So I think that in the midst of this great wrestling renaissance, I hold out hope that another Ted Turner will come along and just start throwing money around.
I do think that is, you know, competition is good for everybody, but I think that's the key right there, is that money factor, because I've worked behind the scenes on a couple of independent companies, and that was always the kiss of death, so to speak, is not having that capital to continue and pursue it, because I think there's a misconception that all you need is a ring and a couple of cameras and some editing equipment, but there's so much more that goes into it, and the folks there at Chikara, you know, do such a great job, and, you know, obviously for 15 seasons now, there has been that level of success. So, gentlemen, any advice for men and women who are listening to this, who may one day want to follow in your footsteps and step into the ring?
My one bit of advice would be, show up in shape. I think that wrestling, everyone knows that wrestling hurts, and everyone knows that it's a lot of hard work, but you will learn much faster if you don't have to worry about your cardio or your strength, as long as you're already ready to do, let's say, like a 10K marathon or a 5K or a tough mudder. I would get in the type of shape it requires to do one of those before you ever step foot in the ring.
And you are in great shape. How do you yourself train and stay in the shape that you're in right now?
Well, I eat plenty of hard-boiled egg whites and spinach and eel pie, and sometimes I eat pumpkin right out of the can. But I also, I keep a regiment of dieting and working out. So lots of squat thrusts, lots of wind sprints, and a lot of tandem bicycle riding with Marion Fontaine.
And that, speaking of, that is one of the t-shirt designs, I believe, on your Pro Wrestling Tees site, is it not?
Yes, it will be coming very soon. And you can visit that website by going to bit.ly/jervyshirt. bit.ly/jervyshirt.
Alrighty, gentlemen, Jervis Cottonbelly, and I say this with all sincerity, you are one of my favorites. I enjoyed meeting you a couple years back and talking to you on social media. You always take time for your fans, and I think that's important when you're in the position that you are in, that you remember the fans and you have maintained a relationship with them. I'm going to give you the final word here. Anything else that you want to plug or push for us today?
Oh, I just want to remind everyone that I thank you very much for caring about grappling and supporting us. Please continue to do so. Seek out your local independent promotions. Excuse me. And remember, above all else, always remember and never forget, Jervis Cottonbelly still loves you. Only Jervis Cottonbelly.
Gentlemen, Jervis Cottonbelly, we love you as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Huntsberger.
All righty. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. Thank you, and good luck to finding the Estonian Thunderfrog.
Oh, thank you. I hope I do.
Take care.
Godspeed.
All righty, folks. That was the gentleman, Jervis Cottonbelly. Again, you can find him at Gentleman Jervis on Twitter. He's also on Facebook and, of course, his YouTube channel. With that new Cottonbelly Says series going on, he is quite entertaining, so I do encourage you to check him out and support indie wrestling, whether it's Chikara Pro or something that's going on in your neighborhood or hometown or even your state. You know, take the effort, take the time to travel and visit these companies, because it's the basis, the foundation, if you will, for the world of professional wrestling that we know today. Lots of guys on the WWE main roster, as I mentioned before, got their start at the independent level, and you know, look where they are today. So the next, you know, I've always used this as an example. I once called a match between El Generico and Pac. And if you want to know where they are today, just Google search those two names, Pac, P-A-C, and El Generico. You know, not going to let any secrets out here, but you can find out where they are today, having a very successful run in their professional careers. So, again, thanks so much for listening to My 1-2-3 Cents. Thanks for reading the blog at my123cents.com. Greg Mahochko, my buddy over at Nerds United, part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Thank you so much for the work that you do for this show and everything else that's going on the network. Big things coming in 2015. And again, don't forget to click on that Amazon link and support the show.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.